Hi, I'm Poppy Pawsey, and I would like to introduce you to someone who is very special to me, my Nana. Jessie Florence Jackson is a World War II veteran who served our country in the WAF. She was bombed twice in the Blitz and is now the ripe old age of 98 years old. I served in the Royal Marines Band Service for 12 years and have always felt I've had a special connection with her. On a sunny day in February, my producer William and I travelled to her home in Exmouth to capture her story, and she started the chat with her characteristic wit and charm.
Well, I'm Jessie Jackson. I'm Poppy Pawsey's grandma. And at the moment, I'm just retired, a retired old lady. Used to be a WAF, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I assured my mum I was a good girl because all the women's services, they had shocking reputations. But we weren't really like that. We weren't really as bad as that. Of course, there were lots of American soldiers in England, which didn't help the way people thought about us, because they all thought we were being naughty with the American soldiers, but we weren't. Well, at least I wasn't. That probably because nobody thought I was worth. But anyway, it was a good life. I'm glad I was in the WAF. It was an experience that, well, obviously you never have again. Please God. No, it was good. I grew up, I think, learned how to take care of myself, make my own bed for a start. No, an experience that I'm glad I've had, but I don't want again.
I have asked Nana a lot about, you know, what it felt like to go through the Blitz, because, you know, we only see it on video. She used to just look out the window and watch the planes fly over and drop bombs, and there's fires throughout. And I just think, I cannot even imagine it now. I mean, warfare now is so different. I can't imagine the whole of London having to take cover in the underground, but still singing and telling jokes and chatting to each other. And I think they definitely had a resilience back then that is quite inspiring. And that's something that I would like to take through my life. Just don't give up, because I always think if Nana could do it, then I can do it.
Well, you just didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I had absolutely no idea what war meant, except that, you know, people would be fighting. And I think we thought that we would all be fighting, you know, but of course it wasn't like that at all. A lot of people were in what they called reserved occupations, which meant they didn't have to go into the service. My brother was like that for a start. He used to have to help to clear up after there'd been an air raid. He had a home in Essex. Mum and I were caught up in the Blitz in Westcliff. We weren't hurt, but all the windows were blown in. We thought, well, we can't stay here, you know. But anyway, we went to London, stayed with my mum's brother for a bit, and my brother said, well, why don't you come down to Romford? I've got a house there, plenty of room. So we did. We used to sleep on the floor because it was safer, but didn't really turn out like that because we were both hurt.
Do you remember what your brother said to you when you moved to Romford after you got bombed first?
Oh, they'll never, you know, the Germans would never get planes, never get through to London. No way. Huh. Used to get there every night with monotonous regularity. Hard to explain what, you know, what the war was like, apart from horrible, because you just can't imagine. As I say, you've got planes going over every night. They'd go over the coast, up to London, drop all their bombs on London, and then fly back again. When I think about it now, it's strange. You know, you can't sort of, you can't imagine it, thank heaven. My mother had a gentleman friend. He, you know, she'd known him for ages. And he, unfortunately, was killed. I mean, we were all in the house together. Mum was badly hurt. I had a fractured femur. And my brother got away scot-free.
I would say Nana is my friend. She's not just, when I say just a grandparent, obviously grandparents are incredible, but she's more than a grandparent. She's my Nana. She's a friend. She's like a mum as well, you know, because she was there throughout my life, throughout all the journeys that I took. She's a huge, huge part of my life.
I was in hospital for about 3 months, I think, altogether. Worst time of my life, I think, sitting up in bed with my leg in plaster.
Before you got bombed, I remember you telling me how every night they'd turn all the lights off in London.
Oh, gosh, yes. All the lights went off, had to have blackout. Otherwise, they would be able to see. You know, we had no lights on, so at least they didn't know where they were. They being, of course, the German bombers. People used to go down to the underground to be sheltered. We used to sit and sing. People would take food down with them because obviously there was no food down there. Bedclothes so that they could cover themselves up, keep warm. It was quite surprising how people sort of accepted it, shall I say. You know, just got on with everything. We'd go down, you know, spend the night there, sing, joke, sleep, and then get up and go back to work the next morning. But, you know, the underground was a good idea. You just felt safer because you were underground, you know, and you just hoped that whatever bombs came down didn't go through to where you were, sort of thing.
Were you scared?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, you don't... you can't not be scared of things falling out of the sky. No, it was a terrible time, a terrible time. But, you know, you just accepted it, I suppose. And I think one of the most horrible, it was quite surprising how people just sort of accepted it, really. I suppose you could say, and thought, well, you know, this is it.
When you look back now, do you almost feel like it never happened? Or is it very much real?
Oh, it's very real. No, you could never sort of feel, doesn't seem possible, you know. It was real.
I suppose because we both served in the military, we have a common interest. She absolutely loved to know everything about when I served, and she used to come and watch all the concerts. I'm the only one in my family that joined the military, and you just sort of don't know if anyone from our family ever will again, I suppose. So I was like the last one standing. But yeah, it's nice to have that connection with her.
Finally, I went back to work. Because I was lucky, I was a civil servant, so I still got a job to go back to. And I don't know how long I'd been back, a matter of months, I suppose. And I was called up to go into the services. There was a period of time when your boss had to send so many people into the service. And my boss said, oh, he said, I only put your name down because I didn't think they would take me as I'd been hurt. But anyway, I did go in. And as I say, I'm very, very pleased that I did. Well, to say it was a good life is not really the right thing because it wasn't a good life. I mean, it's wartime. But it was an experience. And as I say, we grew up. So I went into the Air Force. And that was the beginning of a very big part of my life. I'm very glad I did go in. What did I be? How far up did I go? Leading aircraft woman, LACW. That's right. That was as far as I got, but it was good. I had a very interesting job. I was what was known as a filter plotter, and the stations that the aircraft flew from would send us the position that the planes were in. We used to plot them on the table so that other parts of the RAF could see where they were and where we had planes going out, and there were aircraft coming in to bomb us as well. It turned life upside down, but it was very interesting knowing where the aircraft were going, where they'd come from. You know. Definitely a job, well, that had to be done. You know, it's terrible to say I enjoyed it, but I did. It was strange to all of us, you know, because we were all, as they say, called up. Well, it was nice to think we helped. We could tell other parts of the Air Force where the aircraft was, etc.
My Nana is definitely a role model to me. She's kind of my hero, and I say that to her, and then she sort of brushes that off and says, I'm not a hero, Poppy. But to me, she's a hero. I mean, she's 99 in June. I just find that absolutely incredible. And even though it's really sad that she's gone downhill a lot recently, and she maybe isn't so much of my Nana that she used to be, but she's still there, and it's sad how it ends. Yeah, but she's amazing. And if I can, you know, be half the woman that she was, then I've done well in life.
Always on the wall, the number of aircraft, A, we had shot down, B, that had been shot, no, of ours that had been shot down. And it was really odd, really, because you used to just take it for granted. Oh, we only lost so many last night, or we shot down so many. That was good, you know.
You kind of didn't think about the human person in that plane. It was just enemy. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
I suppose you didn't really have time to think that was probably someone's son or someone.
Well, I was going to say, that's the sort of thing my mum would have said. You know, it's somebody's... I think a mother said that in the First World War when there was aircraft going, you know, German aircraft. And she's saying, oh, but it's someone's mother's... some mother's son or something, you know, which... Well, he's absolutely right. I mean, and all the blokes who went from England in the last war, they were somebody's family.
It's a waste of life. A waste of life.
Totally. Totally. Terrible thing, war. The worst possible thing, I think.
Did you ever lose any friends in the war?
Only one. He was an observer. And he was in a bomber crew, one of the crew. He couldn't do whatever it was he was supposed to do. And Bill said, oh, never mind, I'll do it. And he carried on with his job and the plane crashed. So he was killed. Poor old Bill. He was the only one that I can remember that I knew. Several people used to come and visit me when I was, you know, because I lived in Westcliff, and they'd come and see us afterwards, come down to the seaside, you know. Did you ever? No, you wouldn't have known Phil Garrity. And, but, oh, you did. Did you know Dick Pearson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As I say, he was a sailor, but...
He loved you, didn't he, Mel?
Pardon?
He loved you, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, it was mutual, but I don't know what happened. I can't remember what happened. Both changed our minds, I suppose.
Did you fall in love in the war?
No, not really, no. No, there were a couple of Americans that I liked, but liked was the only... I think that was because their mums used to send us stuff, you know. They could send us boxes of fruit or sweets or cake or whatever. There was one lad, now where did he come from? His name was Harry, and he was quite a bit younger than me, but he was very nice. But he was posted back to the States, so that was that. Nothing I could do about that.
I've got your service and release book, your Royal Air Force service and release book. Rank LACW.
Yeah.
Can you remember your service number now?
471231.
Say that again?
471231.
Spot on.
Oh, I couldn't forget that. I mean, it was something you lived with all the time. I mean, you had to put your number on everything, whatever you were, you know, sending away for, or anything you signed had to have your service number on it, so there was no way you wouldn't know it.
When you had to report to someone,
yeah,
obviously I had to say I am musician palsy.
Yeah.
What did you have to say?
471231 LACW Stevenson.
Yeah, it's funny, it never changes, because I used to say I am P063969 Papa, musician palsy.
It sounds funny saying Stevenson now. I've almost forgotten what my maiden name was. But there you go.
I didn't really know my granddad. He died when I was 3. So I guess it's just stories that I've heard about him. I wish I had met him. I wish I knew him more. Having been in the military, I think he would have been proud of me. obviously my granddad being a Spitfire pilot, we were all very proud about that.
We've got a picture of here of granddad.
Oh, show me.
Looking gorgeous.
I don't know how old he was there. Very young, I know, because he'd only just got his wings. Only about 21 or 2, something like that. He was a pilot. I think he's blue. Yes, he did fly Spits, I think. Yes, he did fly Spitfires. He flew more than one type of aircraft, and he went all over the world.
He was in charge of picking up the broken planes and flying them home.
Oh, yes, that's right. He did. He used to fly them home, which was pretty nerve-wracking, I imagine. First part of his job. They would literally drag an aircraft along, and other fighters would fire at it, which can't have been very nice. But he was fortunate that he was never hurt.
Can't have been very safe, surely. Because no. It would have been live rounds.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't safe.
And well, Grandad used to just fly a plane, dragging a plane that was getting fired at.
Yeah.
He never fired his guns in anger, though, did he?
No. Something of which he was extremely proud. We just gradually got to know each other. We used to go out one evening a week and have a drink, have a meal. And I can remember walking along by the Thames with him. Sadly, I wasn't very fond of his mum. I think she resented the fact that Eric had fallen in love with somebody, you know. She wanted him all to herself. That didn't stop us. Well, it's sort of something that happens slowly, really, isn't it? I don't know, I can't remember. It's just something you, all of a sudden, you sort of realise that you like this person, you don't want to not see them. So that's how it all began.
It's quite sad the way it all ended, though, with Grandad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you know? I can't remember.
It is really hard. I think it's really hard to see how it affects my mum as well. Because Nana's been so with it for so many years. I think she's, you know, only kind of gone downhill in the last 2 years. Obviously, we'd go around and see Nana as often as we could. When I was posted away to different bands, it wasn't as easy, but you always make the effort. When someone means that much to you, you always make the effort to go and see them. So I suppose seeing her change has been really hard. To think that she can remember the lamplighters when she lived in Islington, when she was a tiny, tiny girl, and the muffin man that used to come round with the muffin tray on his head. I mean, that's something that none of us can ever imagine. And I always think to myself, how must the world seem to someone like her? It did end, sadly, between my Nana and my granddad. He sadly became an alcoholic after not getting a promotion that he wanted. And Nana says he just went downhill from there.
You said it was sad the way it ended for him, but I can't remember how it ended.
Well, you two, he became an alcoholic because he didn't get a promotion.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, yes. Yes, he was expecting a promotion at work and he didn't get it. Yes, that's it. And he couldn't believe it. And he turned to the bottle, unfortunately. It was a shame because he was extremely good at his job. But there you go.
I remember you saying it was so sad to see such a proud, strong man be ruined by alcohol. And he, in the end, he died because of it, didn't he? He got liver failure and jaundice and died.
Yeah. But there you go.
Survived the war, but he didn't survive alcoholism.
No, no. Where were we living when he died?
You weren't with your Nana. You'd broken up. You had been separated for quite a long time. And he was living with that woman.
Oh, God, yes. Forgotten that.
He died the day Jack got christened. Granddad was ill in hospital and you went up to see him. And do you remember when you went to go and visit him and he called you by your nickname straight away? Do you remember what that nickname was? Was it Pidge or...?
Oh, yes, Pidge. No, not Pidge, Pudge.
Oh, Pudge. Yeah, Pudge.
Because I tended to be plump than I am now. But, no... Pudge, that's right. I've got so used to living on my own now that, you know, I've sort of got used to it now.
I remember Grandad through my Nana's memories, maybe not so much my mum's. My mum was very hurt by what he became for both my Nana and my mum. It was very sad to see such a proud, fine-standing gentleman just completely change. So it's extremely sad, and I think it all just became too much, and him and my Nana... separated. She likes to remember him in the good way, not so much in the negative. But I guess that, you know, when you get older and your memory fades, you kind of do remember only the good bits, don't you? And maybe when you're of a certain age, what's the point in remembering the bad times?
Funny, isn't it, how you have really strong memories of the war and all of that, but the sort of middle section of your life now is a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
But you can remember things that happened in 1942.
Yes.
Like it was yesterday.
Absolutely.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is strange. It is. It's very, very odd. But I suppose it's the things that have more of an impression on you. No, it is very strange. The sort of things you remember and the sort of things you forget. Don't worry, I won't forget when it's your birthday.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Should we test you? When's my birthday?
Yes, it's...
It's near yours, Nana.
Well, mine's the 4th of June. Yours is the 7th.
She got it.
But you won't be as old as me, though. Ha ha.
You've had a good innings.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I have. It's all been fun, interesting, etc.
Do you have any regrets in your life?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's, well, quite apart from anything else, once you've lived it, there's not an awful lot of point in regretting. But no, I have no regrets. I mean, I haven't done anything that I'm ashamed of, for a start, which is one good thing. And I've got you, which is another good thing. But no, life is... What's the song? Just a Bowl of Cherries. No, it's weird the way things work out. That's the strangest thing. It all works out totally differently from what you expect. But still interesting, still fun.
I bet you never ever thought when the war was happening back then, I bet you never thought you'd make it to the age of the ripe old age of 98, 99.
Good Lord, no, never. Oh, never gave it a thought. During the war, all you ever hoped was that you'd get out and you'd come out the other end. You know? Life's a funny old thing. You just never know. You just never know what's going to happen.
I suppose I haven't really had to deal with death, especially death of someone so close to me. So when I think about losing Nana, I really struggle with that concept. And I know everyone will say, well, you know, it's life and that's what happens. And she's had a great innings. And I know she has. Like, she's had an amazing life. And we've been so lucky that we've had her for this long. But I do worry how I'm going to cope with it. And my brother always sort of says to me, Poppy, you need to, you know, be strong and not be sad. And it's a celebration of her life and don't cry. And we've already had the discussion of how will we celebrate her life? Because there's no point in having a funeral because there's nobody left. She's the only one left. I've got a bottle of whiskey that I bought when I was in the Royal Marines. It was the 350-year anniversary of the Royal Marines, and I bought a bottle of really nice whiskey with an engraved bottle. It was number 105 of 350, and my troop is Troop 105. We've decided that when Nana passes away, we're going to celebrate her life by having a shot of whiskey each and saying cheers, Nana. Like she always did. Cheers to everyone. She knows how much I love her. She knows how much of a big part of my life she's been. And I don't want her to suffer anymore. But also I don't want to lose her. It's such a horrible feeling. But I just want to thank her for all her love and support and just being Nana. I'm so lucky to have had Nana.
Do you remember an Afghan? There's Afghan war was on. You used to say, bring the boys back safe and well. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do seem to vaguely remember that. Yeah. Well, that still applies, really. There's still blokes out there somewhere, aren't there?
But she always used to have a scotch every night. You used to hold it up, didn't you, and go, these are for the men and women serving out.
Yeah, here's to the... Yes, I forget now. I did say something and I can't remember what it was.
Along the lines of come back safe.
Yeah. Well, I suppose being an ex-service woman myself, I vaguely can remember saying it now, but...
It was nice.
To her.
It was a nice thing to do.
Well, war is such a terrible thing. Terrible thing.
Nana always used to come to most of the concerts that I did when I was in the Royal Marines, and she absolutely loved it. And actually, everybody knew who Nana was. Nana's coming to the concert, let's get her the best seats. Nana loves this, we love Nana. I think she got mentioned on the microphone many a time, which she loved, obviously. She actually has a fantastic voice, and she sings constantly. And I suppose, without even realising it, that probably inspired me to sing. It's great fun, you know, to talk about, you know, maybe I've gone to see a show in London, like I went to see 42nd Street and it was just incredible. And then I went back to see her and I said, oh, Nana, I've been to see 42nd Street. She went, oh, I remember seeing that. It must have been about 70 years ago. And then she just sung the song 42nd Street straight off. You know, she can't remember what she had for breakfast, but she'll remember all the words to the song. And I just think that's amazing.
42nd Street, little nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. Sexy ladies from the 80s who are indiscreet. Side by side, they're glorified. It's the song I love, the melody of naughty, gaudy, haughty, sporty, 42nd Street.
I don't really know what it means when we say life's just a bowl of cherries, but maybe it is. Maybe life is just a bowl of cherries, who knows? Let's hope it is, because I like cherries. I suppose it just means keep smiling, keep going. Things will come into your life that, you know, maybe you didn't plan for, but you'll get through it. You'll come out the other end and you'll be stronger and happier. And if you just keep smiling and keep positive, then I suppose anything's possible. I suppose that's what that means. If it doesn't, I've just made it up.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't take it serious. Life's too mysterious.
You've been listening to Just a Bowl of Cherries, produced by me, William Warren.
And me, Poppy Pawsey.
This has been a Forces Radio, BFBS.
And Forces Media Academy production.
Keep repeating, it's the berries. The strongest oak must fall. The best things in life to you were just long. So how can you lose what you never own? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh at it all. Keep repeating, it's the berries. You know the strongest.
sweet things in life to you were just loan. So how can you lose what you never own? Life is just a bowl of cherries.